Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and we're excited to talk about financial margins as we continue in our series around margins. And we've actually talked a little bit about this series on margins was actually a series that our home church did back in Austin, Texas. And Lauren and I were talking about it was back in 2009, so 13 years ago. And just had such a huge impact on our lives. In 2009, we were 1 year out of undergrad, so 1 year into our careers. And about 2 months before this series happened at our home church, we had just bought our first house. And so there were multiple just different life situations that we found ourselves striving for success, trying to get our feet under ourselves and kind of controlling our future. That this series around margins, where we talked about margins of time, margins in relationship, margins in finances, just really stuck with us and played a big role for us as we started our adult lives and really matured towards growing closer to God. And so I was talking with Pastor Bruce about trying to bring that series here and been really excited about much of the feedback that I've heard. But we'll continue around finances today. Not an easy topic, I have to admit, right? So we'll dig into that. And I have to give credit to our pastor back home, Pastor Tim Hawks, as we gathered. I gathered a lot of things from his sermon back in 2009 to bring to you guys today. And continuing in much of what we discussed this morning around Thanksgiving, we wanted to talk today about not only financial margins, but how those margins fuel generosity as we come into this week of Thanksgiving. So we're talking about financial margins today, and much of this is rooted from this quote from Richard Swenson that says, "Margin is the space between your load and your limits." So I have to ask you, in your finances, I'm curious, do you have space between your load or what you have planned and your limit or the maximum you can support? Do you have space between those things today? That is your financial margin. Or maybe another way to ask it would even be, do you know what your load and your limits are from a financial perspective? Because knowing if you have space between the two first comes from knowing what that load and that limit is. And so we'll talk more about that today and really dig into that. But before we do so, I'm going to ask you a challenging question, and I want you to actually really take a moment and actually write down your answer. So get out your phone, get out a piece of paper. And the question I have for you is, how much money is enough for you to never worry about money again? How much money is enough to never worry about money again? Take out your phone. I'll give you guys a minute to actually write that down, because we're going to refer back to this as we go through the rest of the message here today. Everyone thinks about their finances, whether that's for you, whether that's daily or weekly, monthly. I bet you've thought about how much is enough. And maybe you've even worried about what it would take to not worry. So does everybody have it written down? Okay, now turn to your neighbor and share your number. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't make you do that. I'm not here to create more stress today or more worry. Well, before we go any further, let me take a minute and pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are just so thankful for all that you've given us. You bless us so abundantly. God, we just pray that this morning we would hear from you. Lord, that you would mold us and shape us as we grow closer to you. And God, as we just dig into this discussion around finances, Lord, help us not to worry about our finances, but to find margin and trust in you to provide for us. And God, out of that, we just pray that you would fuel in us this want to be more generous with all that you've given us, giving back to you out of all the blessings that you've provided. And Lord, we just pray that you'd guide us through that this morning. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. So I have to say, this is a challenging area for me, this idea of not worrying about finances. Doesn't come easily. I'm still very much a work in progress in this area. And, you know, I wish that I could tell you that Lauren and I have never fought about finances. Certainly not the case. In fact, probably early in our marriage, it might have been the area that we had the most arguments about was finances. As we've partnered more in generosity, we've certainly grown a lot in that. And it's been quite a while since we've had an argument about finances. I also wish I could tell you that generosity comes easily for me. It's absolutely a mental battle. I don't know about you, but for me, I have to plan ahead for generosity. If it's an in-the-moment thing, I often find that my natural instinct or my default is to be frugal. It's not to be generous. And so I have to proactively battle what I call really an idol of control in my life. There's lots of different idols that we might find in our lives, whether that's comfort or acceptance or different areas. For me, I find that it's most often control. And so that's really a battle for me to proactively give back to God out of the first fruit. And we'll talk more about that concept of the first fruit of all that he gives me. And so really the goal today is to share a bit of what's helped me on that journey as I've proactively really tried to grow in generosity and find more financial margin. So we're going to really talk about three main areas in the message. The first thing we'll talk about is, what does the Bible say about financial worry? And it says a lot. I'll hit a bunch of verses today. We'll talk about multiple different places in the Bible where it talks about our finances and stewardship and not worrying. And there's probably 100 more verses. The Bible has a lot to say about not worrying about our finances. The second thing we'll talk about is really digging into some practical steps we can take to achieve financial margin, finding that area between our load and our limit. And then the last thing we'll talk about is experiencing true riches, and we'll explain that more. What does it mean to find true riches through generosity? So what does the Bible say about financial worry? Scripture really teaches that God does not want us to worry. He doesn't want us to worry about anything, but he definitely doesn't want us to worry about our finances and physical things. And if you're worrying about money, most likely you are missing his will for you. So where do we get this from? Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is speaking, he directly addresses this idea of anxiety and, in particular, anxiety about the physical things. We would relate this to money. And so we're going to spend some time actually going through Matthew 6, 25 all the way to 34. So I think I have like 5 slides worth of verses, but we'll break it down a bit as we're going through. But if we start with verse 25 in Matthew 6, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" So we'll stop there. That's verse 25, just for a moment. Really what this is saying, Jesus is specifically saying, of all the things to worry about, physical things are not what you should be worrying about. What you should wear, what you should eat. This is specifically saying, don't worry about those things. They're not very important in the grand scheme of things. We're supposed to live life in such a way that we're prioritizing relationships, and in particular, finding our self-worth much more in who we are as a person and not our financial status, not what we're wearing, not what we have, not that next purchase. And so as we continue in verse 26, it goes on to say, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. are you not much more valuable than they? We'll pause in verse 26. How many of you feel like you need to store away in barns? Look back at your number. Why is that number so big? I don't even know what your number is, but why is that number so big? Are you trusting in your bank account for that control of the future, or are you trusting God, right? Do you feel like you need to store away in barns? And then it continues on and says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Solomon, being the richest man that ever lived, probably had absolutely awesome clothes, very trendy, right? Lots of purple probably in there. And Jesus is saying here that even the flowers in the field are more beautiful than that, right? And so why are we striving? Why are we worrying about the way we're dressed or comparing ourselves to others? If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. And my favorite part, verse 33 and 34. As Jesus wraps up about anxiety, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How true is that? Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you're a person here who finds yourself worrying a lot about your finances, worrying a lot about the future and how you're going to provide for your family, or, you know, whatever that area might be, I encourage you to take these specific verses, Matthew 6, 33 and 34, and commit that to memory. Because as you come into those situations, I think you'll find that you'll refer back to that verse more and more as you commit it to memory. There also might be some people here who are thinking, you don't know my situation. Right? You know, my situation is totally different. There's this thing going on in my family, or maybe I just lost my job, or whatever that might be for you. I'll just tell you again, these aren't my words. These are Jesus's words, right? For everybody. And Jesus knows your situation, and he's still telling you, don't worry about it. He's going to provide for everything that you need. If we follow Jesus's teaching and implement his plan, we'd be free of financial stress. And in particular, we'd be able to focus much more on the true riches of living a life for him. And we get this from Luke 16, 11. And it says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? God commands us to be good stewards, right? Right there in the Bible, he tells us that actually, when it comes to experiencing his true riches, which isn't wealth, by the way, it's relationship with God. But he tells us that a prerequisite for that is how you handle your worldly wealth, is being a good steward. And I believe that when it comes to stewardship, that starts with financial margin, right? So let's talk more about practical steps you can take to achieve financial margin. And so we'll just explore some basic financial principles here real quick. And if you think about it, we each live off of a percentage of what we make, that load and the limit, right? So if this is your limit, ideally your load is somewhere down here and this is your margin in between. And if you think about over time, probably your limit goes like this, as most people will make more money over time, their income increases. There's a big draw towards increasing your spending directly with increasing your income. And so that takes really battling that in your life. And so maybe you're a person who puts away 5% towards retirement. Ideally, hopefully you're putting some percentage towards savings and towards givings, but you live off the rest. And so what is that for you? What percentage are you living off of? And so step one is, if you don't know what that is, you should. Number one step towards achieving financial margin is go figure out what your load is and live life based on the percentage you need, as opposed to always allowing it to match what your limit is. Here in Proverbs 21:20, it says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." Pretty direct, right? A wise man stores up part of what he produces. He saves. He creates margin for the future. If you're spending all that you have, you're acting foolishly. The Bible tells us that directly. No matter what percentage you're living off of, you've probably thought about how much better life would be with just a little bit more. There's a lot of people spending a lot of money marketing things to you specifically so that you will think, "Oh, if I could just make a little bit more, if I could just get that extra raise, oh, I'd be set up for the future. I could go and have a fancier vacation, or get, you know, that little bit more upgraded car or nicer apartment with that extra bedroom," whatever that is for you. It's very easy for us to think back to those things. And all of that also directly relates back to that number that you put down at the very beginning. As you think about those things, that as your limit increases, oh, all those things you could do to go match your spending up to your limit. We focus so much on the money coming in as the problem, as opposed to the money that's going out. And we often just match our spending to our income. As I was preparing for the message today, I actually heard this quote, and it really grabbed my attention. And it started off by saying, "We are all generous. Everyone is generous." And I thought to myself, I'm not sure about that. Is everybody generous? And then it continues on and it says, "The question is, are you generous to yourself, or are you generous to others?" And that just made so much sense to me. If we are living in a way that we are matching our limit with our spending, we are being very generous to ourselves. We're going after those couple of things that are always in our mind of, "Oh, if I could just get a little bit more money," as opposed to being generous to others out of the margin that we create between the load and the limit. And then I also say that, you know, we talked about, as we increase our income over time, if we match our spending to that, what happens is you actually get more and more stressed throughout your life. Because if you're matching your spending to your income, it makes it so that there's no buffer. And whether that's a buffer for changing a job and having to take a little bit less pay, or even during COVID, there were a lot of companies that came out and said, "We need everybody to take a 10% pay cut because we don't want to lay a bunch of people off." And so how would that impact you? Would you be extremely stressed if your boss came to you tomorrow and said, "Hey, we're heading into a recession, and I need everybody to take a 10% pay cut"? Or could you handle that in your buffer? Or if you have a situation where you all of a sudden need to spend more, whether that's some life event that comes up that you weren't planning for, if you need to all of a sudden spend more and you're already spending at your limit, you have no buffer to manage that. All of that creates stress. And actually, if you're living in this way with no margin, no financial margin, you're actually stealing from yourself. Really, in three main ways, you're stealing from yourself: emotionally, relationally, and joyfully. So emotionally, what happens is this obligation to bring home a paycheck every week actually means that you're not living a life of peace. You're always looking for, how do you cover your spending? You're always worried about making ends meet, and you have this fear of the future. When it comes to relationally, I didn't do the research, but I bet the number one reason why couples fight is finances. That would be my guess. I'll have to go do the research afterwards, but couples always argue about finances. It's a really touchy area. Children and parents argue about finances. "Oh, mom and dad, why won't you buy this thing for me?" starts at a really young age, even with an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. It starts to come up, even though it's like a 100 NT Rubik's cube that our son wants. It's like, why won't you buy this thing for me? And it creates strain in those relationships. And then joyfully, it really robs us of the joy of our own success. If you're constantly worrying about that thing that you purchased, whether it fits within your limit, or you know, potentially wondering if you overspent, you're always thinking about, instead of enjoying the success that God has given you, again, you're stressed as a result of it. So my challenge, the main takeaway when it comes to practical steps you can take to achieve financial margin, is set a goal for yourself and save 10%. At least 10%, but save 10%. Create a buffer for yourself. And as a result of that, you'll stop stealing from yourself. All right, we'll head into the third section. How do we experience true riches through generosity? So God wants us to experience His rest. And that's really what this true riches is peace. It's rest. It's that relationship with God. But oftentimes it's fear and, let's be honest, unfaithfulness that holds us back from this. You know, fear of the future, fear of missing out, that FOMO, right? Fear of what other people will think. We make financial decisions not to seek first His kingdom when we're driven by that fear. In fact, because of fear, if you go back and you look at what happened with the Israelites weren't able to enter God's promised land and experience His rest because of fear. And you can find this in many different places in the Bible, where fear holds people back. And they had to go and spend 40 more years in the desert because God was very clear that He was going to wait for the next generation to be able to come into the promised land and experience His rest. Hebrews 3:7-11, and it says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, or as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." To experience God's true riches, we want to be able to enter into His rest. He wants rest for us. He does not want us to worry. He made that clear. He said it 3 times in those verses in Matthew 6. He certainly doesn't want us worrying about these physical things or what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. He wants us to experience His true riches. And in Proverbs 11, I told you, the Bible talks about finances in lots of places. Proverbs 11:25, it also says, "A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And here, when I think about what does it mean to be refreshed, this isn't wealth, it's true riches. God owns everything. It's all on loan from Him. He gives us the ability to produce wealth. He talks about that multiple places in the Bible, and we don't take it with us. And He's clearly saying that of all He gives us, He expects us to give back to Him. So again, that step one is achieving financial margin, that 10% savings, creating that buffer. But I believe as you do that, very quickly you will find yourself drawn to giving out of that margin. As you have margin in your life, you will find more and more opportunities and feel yourself drawn to giving back out of that 10% that you're saving. And as you give back and you're faithful and trustworthy to what God's calling you to do, and faithful and trustworthy in handling your worldly wealth, you will experience these true riches. So just to be clear, this isn't a give us your money message, okay? You don't have to give your money here. That's certainly not why I'm up here. We'd love for you to view every nation as the place where you would invest in the kingdom and trust that your financial gifts would be used to glorify God. We'd love for that. I wanted to take a quick minute. I know for me, to give to a church is there's also an element of, I want to understand a bit of what that church is doing with the money. And so we actually just came out of a series before this on our areas of focus. And so if you're interested in that, you can go back and watch those. But our church actually runs on a yearly budget of about 6.8 million NTD, if you guys are interested in that. So about 6.8 million is what it takes for this church to run on a yearly basis. And actually one of the biggest line items in our budget is the rent for this space. And going into next year, we have a big transition we've mentioned a couple times where we're going to be moving to a new space. And so some of the early analysis says that that line item might actually increase by 3x as we go into next year. Now, again, we're not asking you for your money. We know that God's going to provide for that. This church has been blessed financially over the years, and we know that God will provide the right space and the finances to support that. But as God calls you to give, if you're interested in giving, if you want to know more about our budget, if you want to know more about specific needs that the church has, let us know. And our finance team would love to just sit down and talk through that with you. But more than that, as I mentioned, it's much more important that out of obedience, you give somewhere. Take steps towards generosity. In fact, the giving tree is right there in the back of the room, and that's a great step you guys can take today of taking one of those tags and going and out of your financial margin, giving to somebody else. And so that's one example of all that SALT does, but that's a great step you could even take today. Just as we wrap up, you know, I wouldn't be up here today if I didn't believe this wholeheartedly. I think Lauren and I were talking about this as I was preparing. We were blessed by some values that our parents instilled in us quite early. And in fact, growing up, I think probably even at the age of maybe 6 or 7, my parents actually held back $1 out of my weekly allowance and gave it to me on Sunday morning so that I would start to build this thought process, build this expectation of giving back to God. So if any of you have kids, Lauren and I have thought about how do we do that in the world of digital giving? But I think that really started to create a foundation for us. And the Bible mentions this in many different places, this idea of tithing or giving back to God out of all that he gives us. And actually all the way back to the time of Abraham. And this was in our daily reading plan as we read through the New Testament together as a church last week in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4 through 5 directly talks about this idea of tithing. And so it says, just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they also are descended from Abraham. Going all the way back to Abraham, he felt called from God to give 10% of the plunder that he received. And we were also taught early on that tithing should come out of our first fruits. And so what does that mean, first fruits? So if you think about a farmer who is having a harvest, there's multiple harvests, or that harvest is over a period of time. He doesn't wait until the end of the harvest and say, wow, look at all the abundance, and then give. God's saying, give out of the first fruits, that first harvest. And so for you, that means ideally you would give immediately out of your income as opposed to wait to see what's left, that buffer between your load and the limit, but you would give out of the beginning of your income. At least that's what I feel God has called me to do. And in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, this is the last verse, guys. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. It's quite a promise there. As newlyweds, you know, Lauren and I, as we were starting out in our career, we started tithing 10%, and we actually set it up so it would directly come out of our paycheck. And I told you at the beginning that my natural instinct is to be frugal. And so battling that we wanted to be proactive and set that up so that it would happen ahead of time. That decision would be made ahead of time. And God's really honored this for us. We found that He's led us in multiple different financial decisions that have set us up with margins. Could spend a lot of time talking about that, everything from the story of our first home purchase to different situations with vehicles and lots of different things where we just felt like God was honoring our obedience to Him in the way that He led us through those situations. But I would say, and I believe that God is trustworthy when He says in the Bible that he who refreshes others will be refreshed. But don't give expecting something from God. Don't give to be blessed. That's certainly not what that means. Again, being refreshed is not necessarily mean, that doesn't mean financially. It doesn't mean that you're going to be rich financially or maybe in the worldly sense of being rich. But I've had many experiences where as I've been obedient to God, as He's called me to give, that we've actually found that that money flows back to us. And maybe you guys have experienced that too, and you do something out of obedience and something happens in your life where it's like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. And here this money's coming back to me and God's entrusting more to me. So we actually had a very specific situation. This was just last year where we had a friend who had a need and Lauren and I were praying about how we could support them and really felt God calling us to a specific amount of money that we were able to, out of our margin, step in and help this person. And it was crazy. So 2 months later, we receive an insurance check. Insurance checks are great, right? It's like, you know, pays back from what you've been paying into your insurance. And so there's lots of hailstorms in Austin, Texas. And, you know, oftentimes when a hailstorm comes through, it will damage your roof and they'll come and they'll inspect and they'll send you a check if your roof is too damaged. And so 2 months later, we get a insurance check for our roof. Our roof is 15 years old. Our roof needed to be replaced relatively soon anyways. The hail damage didn't mean that we had to go and replace it any sooner. And sure enough, that check was almost the exact amount of money that we gave to help our friend in need. And that's just one example. I could share many more, but we continue to see God doing that. We've experienced God more closely as we've responded faithfully to His call to be generous with all that He's given us. And just in closing, God doesn't want us to worry. He made that very, very clear. He wants you to be wise. He wants you to be a good steward. He wants you to find margin in your finances so that you can be generous and give back to Him out of all that He has given you. And I absolutely believe that through that growth in your relationship with God, out of that obedience, you will experience His true riches. Let me pray to close this up. Heavenly Father, God, we just give You our finances. We know that it's all from You, that You give us the ability to produce wealth. And God, I just pray that out of obedience, we would find ways to be generous with all that You've given us. God, help us to find margin to create a buffer between our load and our limit and really trust in You as we set that load to provide for all that we need. God, we know that You have a perfect plan for us. We know that we don't need to worry about the physical things. We don't need a huge number in our bank account to not worry about the future. We can trust in You to provide for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.